I have this little short verse underlined, and every time I'm flipping through and see these words, it reminds me, and it should remind each of us, how important the Word of the Lord is. Here we find in this 22nd chapter of Jeremiah, in this 29th verse, the Lord says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. I looked up that phrase, hear the word of the Lord, and it's used, I believe it was 24 times in the scripture. And this is one of those times. In the book of Ezekiel and the book of Jeremiah is the most times that phrase is used. Just simply hear the word of the Lord. The first time that it is used is in 2 Kings chapter 20, and the last time is in the book of Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 1. And if you read that verse, you'll find that the last time that the scripture gives us that little phrase, it is used in connection with the Lord being angry at his people. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, I'll just read it. You don't have to turn there. It says, Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. And then the next verses, the Lord really lays out the description of what's taking place with his people. And so his desire is that people would hear his word. And we realize from Genesis 1:1 until the last amen in the book of the Revelation, it is all the word of God. I looked up, and to my surprise, I guess I'd never had noticed it before, looked it up before, but the phrase, the words, plural, words of the Lord, is only used one time in the scripture. And none of it is in the New Testament, it's all in the Old Testament. And primarily it is God dealing with his people when they become dull of hearing, when they do not listen and they're not following, not obeying the scripture, not obeying the message that God has given them. And so Jeremiah here in this passage, he is calling attention to the entire world. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Now, we have a long message in this Bible. It takes some time to read through it. And some of the passages that we read are very difficult to understand. Some of the passages that you read become very laborious as you read through them, especially the genealogies and some of the things that are dealing with that. But it is all the Word of God. And it is given for our benefit and for our help. But I began to think about some little short messages that God gives to us. It doesn't have to be a long message. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out message for us to, for God to get our attention. And I want us to look at some places tonight that God gives just some short messages from the Lord, but they have an eternal weight. It doesn't take long to read it, doesn't take much to understand it, but it is a message from God that is very important that the hearer would do what the Scripture says. And it goes from a warning and even into comfort and cheer given to his people. I want to just look at, and we'll be looking at some different places in the Scripture, and just look at some short messages, just a few words. And these words are the message. It is the message of God to people, and it is the word of the Lord. And so, therefore, we should hear it. And thank God, as a believer, we did hear this first message that God gives, and it is found in the book of Amos, chapter 4, and verse number 12. It's just five little words, prepare to meet thy God. That's a short message. Doesn't take a lot to read it, doesn't take a lot to understand it, but it is an eternal message given to every person upon this earth that there must be preparation made because one day they're going to meet God. a person, just because they're raised in church, just because they know a lot of details and a lot of things about the Bible, it does not make them a Christian. It does not make them in right relationship with the Lord. And I have met people, and you also have, I'm sure, that were raised in church, had all the things that was going on and active in church, and all of a sudden they realized they needed what they were had been hearing all those years. They needed to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so the Lord is speaking here. This is a solemn message to the people of Israel. Prepare to meet thy God. And so preparation has to be made. It doesn't just happen. Anything that is good in life, there's usually preparation that is involved in that. We prepare our meals. We prepare for the next day. We prepare for all the things and the activities that go on. But so many times we forget about eternity, and we must prepare for eternity. And all of us here tonight in the house of the Lord probably are believers and are saved by the grace of God. But there came a time in your personal life that you realized that preparation had to be made for the future. Preparation had to be made for eternity, because eternity is upon us. And we certainly do not know the day nor the hour that we're going to leave this world. I've known people, and you have known folks, that our mind thinking is that people grow up, they grow old, and then they die. But it's not always in that pattern. I've known some people that have not been able to grow up, and they died. I've known some folks that got into their teenage years, and they did not go any farther than that. And so preparation has to be made when the Lord deals with our heart and makes us understand we need God. And so the Lord told Israel, He said, you're going to have to prepare to meet your God. And so preparation has to be made. And then there is a meeting that is coming. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord. And one day we're going to face Him. And we'll see Him face to face. And there are two judgments that are spoken of in the Scripture. One is the judgment seat of Christ, which is for believers, that the New Testament and Paul reveals to us, that we will stand before the Lord and we'll give an account of those deeds done in our body. That's the judgment seat. There's where the child of God goes, and God looks at him. God knows his life. And by the way, won't have to be any controversy on who's telling the truth. God has the books. And He keeps a clear record, keeps a good record, keeps an accurate record, and we'll stand before God with all of our deeds, all of our works, I believe even all of our thoughts, and all those things that God knows about. And the Bible says He keeps a record of that, and one day we'll stand. So we're going to meet Him, and so we need to be prepared to meet. And then it says, thy God. As Amos was writing to the people of God, the Jew, of course, that word thy God means that God is their God. They are His people by the choice of the Lord. The Jew are the people of God. Even though they're not saved, they're still classified as the people of God. And one of these days, they will stand before the Lord and they'll give an account why they did not trust, why they did not believe. And that'll take place at the other judgment, which is the great white throne judgment that the book of Revelation reveals to us, that heaven and earth, it flees away, and there's no place found for them. And every lost individual, the dead, both small and great, will stand before God. And again, they'll give an account of their life, and they will meet their God. They will meet the God that could have been theirs by their choice and believing and trusting. So this is a warning to the lost. Prepare. That's the message that we have for a lost and dying world tonight. Those around us, of our families and our friends. This week is a week of many times that families will get together. I've already heard of some families already had their Christmas and already had certain gatherings, and they're going to another one and they're going to another one, and all these activities that are taking place because of the season that we're in. And the message that we have to our family and to our friends is they need to be ready to meet God, because we can be alive and well, and then all of a sudden we can be removed. We can be taken out of this world. So God gives a short message. Prepare to meet thy God. Five little words. Oh, what a weight of eternity are found in those words. What a message of life can be found. A warning that is given to a world that needs to know Jesus Christ. And sometimes people just need to realize preparation has to be made. Probably this coming, either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, there's going to be a lot of food spread out on tables. You know, it didn't just happen. There has to be preparation. We prepare for it. Every person that has the meal, it's even called, we're preparing the meal. How many trips you make to Walmart is according to how many times you forget something that you need to go get. Sharon went yesterday and got home. She said, oh, I forgot this. So guess what? I had to go to Walmart. You know why she did it? Preparing for some things that are coming up this week. And so this week is important, but it's not nowhere near as important as eternity. Nowhere near as important as meeting God and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a message that we one day will come face to face. Sin will be put before us, and we'll be recognized as He being the one that is judging because of that one day of not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. What a sad day it will be when people will hear the Lord say, depart from me, I never knew you. Another place says, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I think that's some of the most solemn words anywhere in the Scripture. Because it's not our friends talking, it's not our family talking, it is God talking. It is Jesus saying, I never knew you. Oh, but Lord, didn't we do all these wonderful things? And those things are listed in Matthew. And the Lord said, I never knew you. And so we find that there has to be preparation made because there is a meeting. And we're not meeting family now, we're meeting God. We're meeting that one that holds the whole world in His hand, the one that knows everything about us that there is to know. I'm glad one day I'm going to meet Him, and I thank God I'm going to meet Him under the grace of the Lord. I'm not going to meet Him with my own righteousness, which are none. I'm not going to meet Him without the blood. Thank God. I'm going to meet Him, and I believe that even for the child of God will be a very solemn day because we're going to give an account of everything done in our bodies, whether good or bad. We're going to give an account how we built upon that foundation, either be gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. The wood, hay, and stubble burn up and they fly to the air as the ashes or the chaff. And the gold, silver, and precious stones, that which remains, and that which is real, and that which God will bless. So it's going to be a solemn time for the child of God. But thank God we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore our meeting will be, He'll say, enter in, thou servant. And so that's the short message to the sinner. The short message is preparation. Prepare. And that is the message that we have to tell to the world. Then we find that when Jesus came on the scene, I believe maybe Larry even spoke of that this morning, where Jesus met John the Baptist and John saw him, even though they were very closely related, even very closely related in the same age, there's no indication that John and Jesus had ever met each other. And when John sees Jesus coming there, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world." What a wonderful message that is. As John was baptizing there in Jordan, Jesus comes to him, and John says, "Oh, I'm not worthy to do it." He says, "I'm not even worthy to undo your shoes." But Jesus says, "You baptize me." And he said, "Behold," he said, "for all that crowd." And by the way, John the Baptist had a large gathering of people, of followers. I believe all of those that came into that first church were probably followers of John the Baptist. He was preaching on the hillside. He came in with a, a different message. He came in looking different. He came in with a different diet. He came just different to the world, and the people followed him because he was preparing a way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was that preparer of the way. And so he says, when the scripture says, when he sees Jesus, he says, "Behold." That word "behold" means take attention. There's something important. "Behold the Lamb of God." There he is. That's the one I have been preaching about. He takes away the sin of the world. And that is the message to those that are looking and trusting and desiring to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is taking our eye off of self and beholding him, looking to the Son of God. That's a short message. It's contained in the entirety of the Word of God, but it is a short message of God's Word that is his Word, that light and truth has come into this world. And he comes and he died for you and I. And John said he's the Lamb of God. They knew. John was talking to Jews that were looking forward and anticipating there is a Messiah. They knew the time and the season like we know the time and the season of his second coming. They had Malachi. They had the Old Testament. And that's why when the wise men came to Jerusalem and asked Herod about this king of the Jews, the reason they knew that is they knew the scripture. They had read what we have as our Old Testament, which all they had was that. And so Herod, being a ungodly unbeliever, he calls the scribes. He calls the Jews of his place, and they say, "Oh yes, he is to be born. He's to be born in Bethlehem. The scriptures declare that." And so when John made that message and made that statement, "Behold the Lamb of God," now if he said, "Behold, there's Jesus," they might not have known too much of who Jesus was at that time. But when John said Lamb of God, they knew exactly what John was saying. There he is. There's the sacrifice. You see, all those sacrifices up to Jesus Christ was pointing to one day a sacrifice would come. And John said, "There he is, the Lamb of God." And of course, we know that he was sacrificed upon Mount Calvary. Behold the Lamb of God. Short message. What an eternity's worth and wealth that's found in those few words, Lamb of God. Look at him. Desire him. Take your eyes off of everything else around you. Look only to him. Thank God the scripture tells us only him. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And it's only through him that we have life. One life. And thank God we are serving because he is the Lamb of God. So there's two short messages. One is prepare. You're going to meet God. And John says, there he is. Prepare and then behold. So short messages. Almost, you could almost put them down like we don't hear too much about it today. We don't have too much about telegrams. But if you read history of telegram, it was just a short message. If someone sent a telegram across the ocean during the war, it was just a few words. But if you got a telegram, you knew it was important. If you got a telegram, you knew it was immediate attention. If you got a telegram, the minute you had a reply quickly. And so Jesus, through his word, gives us these short messages that we need to reply to, that we need to take notice of, that we realize that we must reply and understand. So he is the judge. We must prepare. And he is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. Thank God for salvation. You and I that are saved. He has a message for you and I too. Those of us that are already born again, he tells us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, be strong in the Lord. That's a short message. Wow. But what word it is. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in your own strength. Don't be depending upon self, but depend upon the Lord. You and I as believers tonight, we are we can't take care of our circumstances. We can't take care of our problems. We can't take care of our needs. We can't take care of our spiritual needs. We can't take care of our physical need. We can't hardly take care of ourselves, but we can be strong in the Lord. And we can depend upon Him for everything. And so the Lord Himself, in Him is power, in Him is might, in Him is strength. He is strong, and He can stand, and He can fight the battle. He can do the work, and He can give to us exactly what we need in our life as a believer. We've already made preparation. We've already beheld Him. Now we just need to depend upon Him and stand in the Lord. Stand in the strength of God. And the Scripture says, be strong. God doesn't want a lot of weak believers. He wants strong believers. And the only way we can be strong and have that kind of strength is if we depend upon Him. Find out what He gives to us in the Word of God and just simply stand in His strength and Him alone. So these all fall really in sequence. You must prepare. You must behold. And you must depend. Depend upon Him. What I cannot do, He can do. Brother Larry, the last two Sunday mornings, made a statement. It maybe seems impossible to man. It just can't happen. But with God, all things are possible. Thank God tonight, there's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing too complicated for Him. There's nothing too detailed for Him. There's nothing that He cannot do. And so He invites us as Christians, as believers, He invites us to stand in that strength and stand in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to stand. And as we are standing, we find the Scripture tells us that we are occupying a place to do battle. We're obtaining, we're controlling certain things in our life through the Word of God. And so the next thing that is given, or the next message that I've put here, is in Luke chapter 9 and verse 13. And He just simply says, occupy till I come. Occupy. Somebody says, well, I can sit on the pew. I'm occupying that pew. That's not what that word means. It doesn't mean just sit still and take up a little space and do nothing. The word occupy means that you're busy controlling what God's given you. During World War II, there were occupying forces. That means they had control of certain areas. They had control of certain lands. They had control of certain seas. They were occupying. That meant they were in a battle. And you and I know as a Christian, we're in a continual battle. The wicked one, he doesn't rest. He doesn't cease from his activities. He does not stop his onslaught against us. But we occupy. That means we're not going to back up. It means we're not going to give up. It means we're not going to give in. We're not going to run. We're going to go forward. For God has given us not a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit that we can go forward and can do. He's given us an armor that we put on. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. Now when he says whole armor, he means all of it. And so we could go through all those: helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shoes, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, our loins shod, and all those things that are given. And every one of those, we have a shield, which is the shield of faith. And we all know what a shield is. A shield can move this way, it can move this way, it can go forward. Can't hardly get it in the back. It doesn't work for the back. We can't turn. And he gives us a sword. It's the shield of faith, and it's the sword of the Spirit, which is none other than the Word of God. And so God gives us the ability that we can stand. He gives us the ability that as we stand, we can occupy, we can fight the battle, because He's given us everything that we need, every instrument that we need to go forward and stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at that armor that God has given to every Christian that we are to take up, now you don't have to. If it's an armor that's just there, Paul would have never said, put on. If we get saved and the armor's on, we don't have to put it on. It would be something that's just automatic when we got saved. But Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. That means we can put on part of it, or we can put on all of it, or we don't have to put on any of it. But I'll tell you what, if you don't put on any of it, you're open game for the devil. He can shoot at you. If you don't have a shield, you will not ward off the fiery darts of the wicked one. If you don't have a sword, you can't fight the battle. If you don't have good feet and good covering of your feet, you can't run the battle. You can't go into the battle. And so Jesus has given us everything we need to not only to stand, but we occupy, for the battle rages. It goes on every day in my life. It goes on every day in your life. It's a battle that there's no end to it until we die. The Bible says there's no discharge in this war. I can't recall where that is found, but it says there's no discharge. Cody just got discharged, and he's so glad. But in our war, in our battle, there is no discharge. In our place, there's no giving up and giving in and going over. He has told us, occupy. Fight the battle. Go forward. Do it according to the Word of God. So we prepare. We behold. We stand strong. And we fight. These are little short messages that mean the world to you and I. And then the last one is found in Revelation chapter 22. You couldn't end up without this message. Behold, I come quickly. We're occupying right now. We're fighting the battle right now. But there is a day ahead that Jesus is coming. Thank God tonight. I don't know when it is, but I know He's coming. I have no idea what time of the day it will be. I have no idea what day it will be. But I know one thing. There is a day. And Jesus said, I come. And when He comes, He's going to come quickly. That doesn't mean He's going to come fast and it's all over. But when He comes, the battle's over. We are gone. Our preparation has prepared us for eternity, and we'll go to be with Him. Revelation chapter 22. Let's turn over there just for a moment, and then we'll be done. Revelation chapter number 22. Verse number 7. This is the last message of the last chapter of God's Word. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which answered me these things. Verse number 7, back up. And that's the verse I wanted there. Behold, Jesus says, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And then John said, when I heard this, I fell down. And so we find that in verse 7, he says, I come quickly. Look at verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as to his work shall be. There's that work that we do for the Lord. And then verse number 20, he which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. That word surely means no doubt about it, he's coming. So there's three times here in this one chapter that we are told that he comes quickly. And our reply, I believe, is like John, the Apostle John's reply, even so come, Lord Jesus. John was on the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner. He was there, he tells us in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, he is there because of the word of the Lord. He's there because of who he was. He's there because of what he was. And he's gone and he's seen all these revelation that has been given to him. He has viewed it. I don't know how God showed him all those things, but he has viewed the last times. And John sees the devastation upon this earth. He sees the enemy. He sees the wicked one. He sees all those against Jesus Christ. And now all of a sudden, he hears the Lord three times say, I come quickly. And the last time he says, surely I come quickly. And John, I think he sort of had all that he can stand in his spirit. He says, even so come, Lord Jesus. When John said that, he said, I'm ready. Thank God tonight we can be ready because of the word of the Lord. It gives us preparation. It gives us ability to behold the Lamb of God. It gives us ability to be strong. It gives us the ability to occupy. And then it gives us the ability to understand it's not going to last forever. There's a very common saying, and it's a true saying. That's not a biblical saying. You're not going to find a verse for it. But this too shall pass. I argue with my mother I don't know how many times. Well, I know it's in there. I've read it. Well, it's not in there, those words, but the whole meaning of it is this too shall pass. One of these days, he's coming. And when he comes, I'm leaving. But that's not all of it. When he comes back in his power, we're coming with him. And we're going to sit on his, as his people of God. He said, I'll make you kings and priests over the entire world. Thank God tonight, surely he comes quickly. That is the message. Short messages, few words, but an eternity's worth of wealth in those words. May God help us in these days that are ahead, that we realize that within this book, we have little short snippets of messages that's there to help us. Those five that I gave you tonight is just five. There's many, many of them. That we can depend upon the promises of the Lord. In these next few days, we'll go through the Christmas season. The next week is New Year's. We'll enter into a new year, a new time. Everything will be the same. It's just called a new year because we start January the 1st. And you know what? Next year, as far as this whole world is concerned, is going to be worse than this year. It's not getting any better. This crowd that says we're going to usher in the kingdom, well, we got a lot of ushering to do. We're not going to do that. We're not going to get better and better and better, and all of a sudden, Jesus said, I think it's time I can go back now. Everything's okay. That's called post-millennialist, just doing better. Now, before World War I, that was a very prominent doctrine in our country among Baptist people because there was no war and everything's good, and we're getting better. Boy, the war, 1 and 2, sort of destroyed that idea, and it hadn't got any better since then. The scripture is very clear that we're going to be made different, but not by our own works, but all because of him. He comes, and he comes quickly. Let's stand together.